We're going to get set up here, and we're going to deliver the word of God, the word that God has given us this morning. I just ask you to open up your hearts, open up your minds. Let your hearts be fertile ground this morning to hear what thus says the Lord. Because the Lord is speaking to us. He's speaking to us all the time. And we have to open our hearts and our minds. And now, at the onset of the year, God put this in my heart for the welcoming. He brought to my attention, and you may recall it, about surrendering all, throwing in the towel, giving up, give it to God, giving everything that we have to God. Let him be in control, to take complete control. And from that vision, birth this message today. Now, I've titled it, Lose Our Life to Live. Lose Our Life to Live. Subtitled, I Give Myself Away. See, none of us really wants to die. We would much rather live. And I think that's a pretty fair assessment for people considering life and death. I have two main points today, and the first one is that God is our master. We have to understand that God is our master. We have to recognize and acknowledge who gives life. Because he who gives life, to him life belongs. God is our master. He is the giver of life. And I think we understand that and we agree to that. None of us here today or anywhere around the world can create life. The doctors and the scientists, they may try. They try cloning, but they can't. They will never be able to simply speak life into existence. God said, let there be light. And it was. Let there be life. And it was. So no one can do that. God is the rightful owner of life. My second main point is considering ourselves dead. Considering our human being, our human spirit, our humanness as dead. Not necessarily our physical death of our bodies, but that is the ultimate sacrifice for righteousness. Everything up to and including the cross can be from a twig to the cross itself. That is the ultimate. But we understand and we know that Jesus has already paid that price and done that for us. But I'm talking about human ways. I'm talking about our self-will that we need to kill off. We need to say goodbye to some things. See, what happens is that our self, our human ways, it gets in God's way. Jesus himself, he was fully human and fully divine. He was two in the same place. Fully human and fully divine, but he never, ever let his humanness get in the way of God. That's what we're striving for. We have to say goodbye to everything about us, everything that we think we know about us. We have to say goodbye to it. Our walk, our talk, and even our thought and our image as we see a reflection in the mirror of ourselves, we have to say goodbye to it. But you know what? Why do we place such high value on our humanness, our human makeup? And we understand that this is temporary. Our human part is temporal. And we place so little value on our spiritual makeup. Our spiritual makeup that is eternal. It's odd. Go along with me here for a minute. I'm going to try to paint a picture here. Imagine our humanity has a value of 1 million pounds, dollars, liras, euros, whatever money system you want to use. And our spirituality has a value of infinity, infinite, endless value, priceless. How many of us would settle for that cool million? How many would settle for the cool million? After all, we could eat, we could drink, we can be merry. We can eat, drink, and be merry if we settle for that cool million. I think most of us would be content with that cool million and just live a life of laughter and our version of love. See, that's what's happening in the world today. We treat the temporary life as if it has the greatest value. And we are taking the million and we're running with it. But the million, in the scheme of things, of all things, of endless, of infinity, is not worth a hill of beans. It's not worth 2 pence. But God has promised us a life of infinite value. The truth of the matter is God never intended for us to be temporary, to set our eyes on temporary, on the earth. When he created us for eternity. That was his intention from the beginning, for us to be eternal. But because of disobedience, and we know that the first sign of disobedience came from Satan himself and the fallen angels, and they were ejected from heaven. And as we know, the second act of disobedience came from Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Their disobedience resulted in them being ejected from the Garden of Eden, all because of disobedience. And now God is instructing us. He's telling us to set our eyes on things above. Set our eyes on in heavenly places, on things that are eternal. The value of which that will never, ever diminish, never runs out. But somehow we've taken our eyes off of that. We've taken our eyes off of the greater value and just kind of settle for the lesser value that's here and now. We see it in the generation, especially our young generation. They're settling for what's here and now. They want it fast and in a hurry. I take mine now. Give me the million. Instead of keeping their eyes on what's eternal, that infinite value. So how do we lose our lives to live? We must accept God as master of our life. Accept God as master of our life. He is the creator. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the great I am. He is sovereign. He is supreme. He is principal. He is chief. He is eternal. He is love. He is light. He is all-consuming fire. He is life itself. And I like the way that Jesus put it. And we've seen it this morning when we read the Lord's Prayer. Jesus said, "Our Father," he's daddy, he's papa. God is our Father. If we truly make God our master, we don't even need to consider our humanity. Of losing our humanity if we truly make God our master. But we are who we are. We are human. And we have to deal with that human element of us. Here's the reality. We don't belong to ourselves anymore when we receive Christ. We don't belong to ourselves. There is a soul sign on us, just like a cell, a soul sign on a house. You are paid in full. It's unlike having a mortgage. Everything is paid up. There's no taxes, ever. There's no insurance, ever. There's no mortgage, ever. Jesus paid it all in full. What Jesus did, he paid it all in full. Final. Done with. We belong to God. We are his property. Jesus Christ purchased us with his very own precious blood. If you will, put on the screen for us. 1 Corinthians 6. Verses 19 and 20. And we're going to see what the scripture says about God as being master. If it's up on the screen behind me, say amen. Okay, we're there. And it reads, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God?" Now, God's Spirit is in us. His Holy Spirit is in us. For those of us that believe and accepted Jesus Christ, Jesus is in us. And where the three of them exist, they are one. They are the Trinity. And the verse goes on to say, "And you are not your own." That's telling us. We are not our own. "For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." He said it. It's there. Our bodies and our spirits belong to God. Understand that the phrase "you are not your own" means to me that we were bought like slaves to a master, and we no longer have ownership over our lives. You see, when a slave was purchased, as it were, back in slavery, the history of slavery, the slave lost all rights to himself. And the master essentially became their God. The slave had to give total submission, surrender their will to the master, or face the wrath, which could lead to death. The human masters even gave their slaves names, their names. They stripped them of their identity that they did know and gave them their own name. And the human slave masters even controlled breeding. He would take a male slave and take him over to this hut and say, "You breed here. Tomorrow night, you go breed there and produce more workers, more slaves." Total surrender. A slave understood that they weren't split between two masters. A slave understands that this master, this slave master, has papers on me. He is my master. They only serve one master at a time. Now, I remember my mom telling me that in America, before my mom and my dad was freed as a slave, she was pregnant with me. They were freed from the plantation. I have to look at my wife because I'm not telling the truth. That was just a joke. I'm not that old. My family was never slaves. I just wanted to break the ice. You look too serious. But here, all kidding aside, let's go to Romans 6, verses 16 through 19. And we're going to see what the Apostle Paul tells us here. You ever seen that movie, Are We There Yet? Okay, Are We There Yet? All right. Romans 6, verses 16 through 19. Apostle Paul tells us that, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness?" Now, mind you, there appears to be two options here. But my personal belief is that I believe it's not even a choice. I believe God the Father commands and instructs us to obey. And if not by default, if we refuse, reject to obey God by default, the consequences is to serve sin because of our disobedience. One way or another, though, we will serve either sin or we will serve God in his obedience. There's no neutrality. We cannot say that, "Well, I tell you what, I'm not serving either. I do not serve sin, and I don't serve in obedience to God. I'm neutral." Kill that. It cannot happen. God has called us to be obedient, and when we are not obedient to God, by default, we subject ourselves and surrender ourselves to the servitude of sin. The verse goes on and says in verse 17, But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sins, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. I think Paul was saying here that although they were once under the law as slaves to sins, they opened their hearts, they exercised their faith to receive the work that Jesus Christ did for us at the cross, and believed in their hearts, and because of that, the people that he was talking about was transformed under God's grace. Verse 18 says, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. And he said, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Now, understand this. That's why we are in the situation that we're in now. Because when we sin, it leads to more sin. When we are lawless, it leads to more lawlessness. The same is true. It's like a snowball effect. A snowball going downhill. The more it goes downhill, the bigger it gets. It abounds much. It's magnified much. But so it is for sin. It is even more so for righteousness, for holiness. It abounds much more. I think that's why in the word it says that love covers a multitude of sins. So all we need is one here, one there, that will cover a multitude of sins. That snowball effect. Here's something for us to take home and think about and ask God about. Now, I'm going to put myself in the place of God, in the place of the slave, if master, if you will. If I'm all-knowing, if I'm all-powerful, if I can be everywhere at the same time, I got a lot going for me. I am the master. Why would I pay a price for my slaves? Why would I pay a price for them and then give my slave an option to serve me? See, as a slave master, when they paid for a slave, they didn't give them an option to serve. They gave them an instruction. They were directive. They gave them a commandment. Follow this. Do this. When the centurion spoke to Jesus, he said, I'm a man under authority. I take gold, they go. I say go here, they go there. That's what someone with authority can do. And a master, a slave that has that authority, he say that, and it shall be done. And then even if a slave runs away, then I'm speaking of right now a human terms in our slave history. If a slave runs away, the slave master, he will leave the plantation. He will leave the 99. You know, like the good shepherd. And go after the one. He will leave all of the workers alone to go after that one because he still owned that slave. That slave was his personal property. Does that sound familiar to the good shepherd? But here's the reverse of this. Know this, that God loves us. His mercy endures forever. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. He is a righteous God. He is a righteous God and not like the evil slave master that I just described to you. God commands us and he instructs us to obey him. And when we fall short, and we will fall short, and even if we run away, he is right there to catch us. He's right there to pick us up. He's right there to forgive us our sins. He sent his son, Jesus Christ. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to set us free from sin and death. But get this here. We can be legally free from sin, but still live like a prisoner of it. In other words, we can live righteous, but still have a slave mentality, because we still have things that we need to say goodbye to. We still have things that we need to work out. You ever see the movie Shawshank Redemption? Any hands? You can say amen. Yes, I've seen it. Shawshank Redemption, starring Morgan Freeman. Now, he had been institutionalized. He had been in prison most of his whole life, from a young boy to an old man, and he was set free. They let him go, and he went and started working at a grocery store. He was free, but he still had a slave mentality. He went to his young supervisor one day, and there was one scene where he went to him and he said, "Bathroom boss." Thanks, Zena. That was funny. But he still had the slave mentality. Bathroom boss. He was a free man. See, to truly be complete, to be a complete slave to obedience, the obedience of God, we will experience a transformation, a renewal of the mind, of the old self. We will be transformed. We will put down our old self and our new self will rise. We'll be like that snowball. Be more and more and more and more. We'll be magnified. We'll be abounding, our new self. God is the God of judgment. He is the God of judgment over sin. He is the God of judgment over righteousness. There is only one, we sung about it, the one with a capital O. There is only one judge. He is the judge, he's the master, he is the only God. God is over Satan. He's over demons. He's over spirits, over angels. He's over every created thing. You see, sin cannot judge us. Sin will never sit in the judgment seat. The devil, Satan, he cannot judge us. He will never sit in a judgment seat. Satan has never paid a penny for us. He hasn't spent one cent. He doesn't own us. He has no legal authority or ownership. There is no other than God himself. You know, Satan, he has no authority. He can't even convict us and sentence us to community service. He's that weak. There's only one that can judge. As Christians, we must say goodbye to some things in order to say hello to things that God has prepared us. We must come to the place where we are dead to self, to our own plans, to our own ambitions, to our own desires. And yet, we are to be very much alive to God and His plans for us, His ambitions for us, His desires for us. You know, in Mark 8, Jesus was instructing the crowd and His disciples, and He said, 8:34, He said, when He had called the people to Himself with His disciples, He said to them, whosoever desire to come after Me, let him deny himself. That means give yourself up. Give yourself away. To deny himself, to get our humanness, our human ways, out of the way of God. And take up his cross means that there's a cross that we have to bear. Every one of us. There's a storm that we have to go through. Every one of us. I like the saying that there's three things that's going to happen with in regards to storms. We're either going through a storm, in the middle of it, or we're coming out of a storm, on the other side of it, or we're going into one. So we're going in one, we're in the middle of one, or we're coming out of one. There's a storm. There's a cross with our name on it. For some, it may be a twig. For others, it may be a full-blown tree. So take up the cross and follow me. Follow is to follow, to submit, to surrender to God, to walk behind, not ahead. Sometimes we are so far ahead of Jesus. Jesus tells us to wait, and we're off to the races. Done left Jesus. Verse 35 says, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. We are slaves to obedience to God. And he goes on to say, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Here are some things that we can say goodbye to. And these are just a few things. And I hope you get the gist of what I'm saying, because we all have different things that we can say bye to that's a part of our humanness, that's in the way of God's way. Say goodbye to selfish ambition. Say goodbye to self-promotion. Say goodbye to confidence in the flesh. Say goodbye to human praise. The Bible says that he who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one, again, the one with the capital O, God, who sent him, is true, and no one unrighteous is in him. When we constantly speak of ourselves and glorify ourselves, what are we seeking? Our own glory? We must be mindful always to give God the glory. Always give God the glory. Give God the credit, and try not to never, ever take his glory from him. The book of Proverbs tells us that for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. It also tells us that let another man praise you and not your own mouth. A stranger and not your own lips. The book of John says, for They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. What I'm saying, we are to have no confidence in the flesh. The flesh will deceive us into thinking that we are serving God and we are doing everything that we need to do in the will of God. But God knows our heart and he knows our attitudes. Outwardly to the public, we look like we are doing the will of God, but inwardly, we are not doing his will at all. Let us not do things to make our flesh feel worthy and glorified. But whatever we do, and the book says, whatever we do, to do our work heartily, but to do it unto the Lord rather than man. That includes ourselves. To do our work heartily unto God rather than ourselves. Sin is no longer our master. Consider ourselves dead to sin and do not allow it to master us. We should speak to it as something that doesn't have any authority, because it doesn't. God is master. We should be alive to God in Christ Jesus. God is no more than just a voice in our head and a cloud of smoke that follow us during the day, a voice of thunder. But he is the Christ that's inside of us. He is the Holy Spirit that's inside of us. And I submit to you today to commit to Christ in everything that we do. It's all or nothing. There's no neutrality. It's his way or the highway. It's obedience to God that leads to righteousness. Or because of disobedience, you suffer. We suffer the wrath of his judgment to serve sin that leads to death. So I leave this with you today. Be determined, regardless of the circumstance. Be determined, regardless of whatever issue. And the issue could be the loss of our most precious loved ones. Be determined. In our heart, be determined. In our soul, be determined. In our mind, that we will not stop serving our master, our God. Be determined that we will move forward in life for God and lose our life so that we can live for all eternity. Amen.